Welcome to the EDUCAUSE podcast. This podcast features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference. You can find more podcasts like this by visiting www.educause.edu/podcasts or subscribe to our iTunes feed by searching for EDUCAUSE. This podcast is sponsored by Real Networks and features a session from the EDUCAUSE 2008 annual conference presented by George R. Dixon, Senior Fellow at the Institute for College and Career Success for the XAP Corporation. The session is entitled, Taking College Access to the Next Level.
Well, good morning, everybody. First, let me thank you very much for being here this morning. And looking at the program, there are so many choices. And you need to have a map, and they should have segues that you can rent in this building to go from point A to point B. If you've looked around, you've noticed that the staff do, in fact, ride those segues because this is one monstrous place. It is truly a pleasure to have you here this morning to hear about a program and an approach to college access and certainly an access initiative that is transferable to your states. It's something I hope that you get as excited about when you hear not only what we're doing, but also the results that we've enjoyed. To go back and perhaps become a catalyst in your own state for the possibilities. I have been talking with states literally for the last 6 years who are also very interested in moving their states forward with a state college access initiative, and it's really a state-centric approach. And there's a woman named Ann Coles from the Terry Institute out of Boston who is one of the gurus, if you will, in college access around the country. And I was delighted when she described in a setting like this, giving a talk, that the North Carolina program has become the gold standard in the country for a statewide access initiative. What drove North Carolina, and this is something that I think you'll find applies very much to your place as well, your states. In fact, as I'm talking this morning, every time that I reference North Carolina, I want you to mentally be thinking about your state, since much of what we're going to talk about will have direct applications to the circumstances in your state as they are across most of the country, and you'll begin to see some real possibilities for what may be able to happen in your states or may be underway but could stand a jump start from perhaps someone like yourself who goes back and becomes that agent for change or just another vocal voice that a statewide effort certainly can reap good results for your state. Margaret Spellings put it best, I think, that access to American higher ed is limited by inadequate information, or rather preparation, lack of information, and financial barriers. All of us, I think, agree with that for children coming through the school systems today, getting the right courses chosen at the right time, good information about their higher educational opportunities, and then finding the resources to pay for that experience continues to be a hindrance for many students and many families, especially first-generation low-income. And that was one of the big drivers that North Carolina saw in its approach to make certain that we started to address those, to do something about them. And I think you're going to be very surprised, pleasantly so, when you look at some of the results we've experienced in just 6 years' time. First of all, the driving forces in our state, and I think they would be the driving forces in your state as well, are changing demographics. And I'm going to show you those for our state, but I will tell you now that I've done the research and I've got demographic charts for every state in the country that show how things have shifted over the last number of years, which may or may not be a huge surprise to you. It is for a lot of people. And then, of course, the shifting economics, where this country has moved from largely a manufacturing opportunity for people, it's very high wage, low skill kinds of environments, now to a knowledge-based economy, and you'll begin to see some of the fallout from losing all those manufacturing jobs, and one state's approach to fix that. In case you're not aware, and this, I think, comes as a surprise to a lot of educators, the number of high school graduates, which is the population that we started out being primarily focused on, I will tell you that the success we've enjoyed in getting the high school program established is now allowing us in North Carolina to move more into an adult population, to expand the opportunities for adults to get more engaged in workforce development, because the tools that will help high school kids can also very easily be applied to the adult population as well. But the high school graduate population peaks this year and then across this great country of ours begins to decline for the next 9 years. And there are some subtle differences in different pockets of the country, still a bit of growth in the Southeast, and in the South, real declines in the Midwest and up in the Northeast. But across the country as a whole, the population of high school graduates will begin to decline. But the demographic makeup of that population, even in areas that are showing some growth, was the big eye-opener for us. If you look at the maroon chart there, you'll see that that's the white non-Hispanic population, that population that has been most likely to go on to college or some form of post-secondary experience, whereas the lime green colors represents the Hispanic population, which is the most rapidly expanding, not only in my part of the world in the South, but across the country, and that's the population that has historically been the least likely to go on and finish high school and have a post-secondary experience. Well, when you look at declining numbers, led by declining numbers of white non-Hispanic students, and you look at which is the population most likely to go to college, and then you look at growth in the population least likely to go to college, there's clearly a disconnect, a significant disconnect in states that have really mushrooming Hispanic populations, as many states across the country do. So if there was not some, as we like to say in higher ed, some intervention, something that caused a change in behavior, we were going to find, as a state, the inability for us to have an educated workforce to attract greater industry and business, which is the economic engine to drive our states, which funds education, K-12, as well as higher ed in many instances, and simply doesn't provide the opportunities for a state to continue to grow. So it was the changing demographics that really drove us. And you can see graphically there, the blue bars represent white non-Hispanic, and then the gold bar represent the Hispanic population just in North Carolina. So it was an eye-opening experience. And again, I've got this information available for every state in the country. And one of the things that I'm enjoying being involved with the new Institute for College and Career Success is sharing information like that with states to help use or you use when you're talking with your decision makers about what kinds of initiatives might we want to undertake given the realities that we see with shifting markets and shifting demographics. And then that just reinforces from the National Center for Ed Statistics those percentage numbers for those students who actually finish high school, those that go on to a post-secondary experience. And then we have the industrial shifts that was the economic driver in North Carolina's approach to addressing access from a statewide perspective. And you can see over the far right-hand side, the North Carolina chart, we were one of the states that lost the greatest number of manufacturing jobs. And manufacturing jobs were those very high-wage, low-skill jobs that families for generations could count on. Well, those have all left the U.S., gone to Pacific Rim countries, gone south of the border, or simply no longer in large numbers a viable option. So you can pick out where your state is and realize that economic shifts certainly impacted your state as well. And for us, it meant losing textiles, furniture, and tobacco. You can think about what that might mean in your particular state. But we all are seeing the growth that is occurring in the job market is occurring in those knowledge-based industries like biotechnology. Pharmaceuticals are huge, certainly in our state, as pervasive in computing. Anything dealing with technology and the computing environment is one of those areas that will require students to have some education beyond high school in order to be a viable candidate. It's what companies come in and look at the state before they decide they want to come to North Carolina to make sure we can provide an educated workforce, which is what led North Carolina to say we've got to do something to get a better educated workforce. And graphically, you can see as far back as 1950, 60% of the jobs in this country went to students who did not have a high school diploma or more. In 91, that changed. Only 35% of the jobs were available to those who did not have a high school diploma or some form of post-secondary. In the year 2000, and this number continues to drop, only 15% of the jobs in this country were available to individuals who did not have a high school diploma or beyond. The skilled labor force meant they had some education beyond high school. Well, that was the reality that opened our eyes in our state to say, we've got to do something to change this. North Carolina's a state of about 1.4 million K-12 kids. We have 110 institutions of higher education, and I will tell you that for our purposes, we use institutions that are accredited, not proprietary. We use institutions that are public, private, 2 and 4 year, but they're all part of the accredited higher education environment. And we made a conscious decision that while proprietary institutions certainly serve a role and a purpose, they were not part of that group that we included in our educational initiatives, our access initiatives. That third bullet down is the one that I hope grabs your attention, and I'll give you details as we move further through this presentation. We have a 67% college-going rate. That's up 9 percentage points in just 5 years. North Carolina has gone from about 32nd in the country to number 6 in the country for college-going rate just in the last 5, now going on 6 years' time. A remarkable change, and I think you all would agree that you're not likely to increase the college-going rate much for my children, perhaps for your children, for second, third-generation families, for professional families, because those kids are the ones going to school anyway. Where you're going to affect change are for those populations that perhaps historically had not thought college was an option. And this is a good time to make sure I drive home the point for us, and I hope in your state as well. When we talk about college, we're talking about public or private, 2 or 4 year. Any experience beyond high school is the goal for us, and we want that experience to be the right fit, as we say in the college admissions business, for that individual. So we go to great lengths to make sure they've got the resources, the tools, if you will, to go in and starting as early as middle school, even now moving down into elementary school in a very age-appropriate way, to talk about the connections between careers and futures and education, so kids at an early age begin to see that, but to find the appropriate fit for students so when they have a post-secondary experience, it is the right experience for them. So what did North Carolina do, recognizing these dire situations of rapidly shifting demographics, certainly rapidly shifting an economic environment? We created what we have branded as the College Foundation of North Carolina. That web portal is www.cfnc.org. I would suggest to any of you, go to the web. If you can find 5 or 10 minutes just to explore, you will be absolutely amazed at the power of the tool, this web portal, the various tools that are available from career exploration to test preparation. In fact, we find families will go in around the world, military families largely from North Carolina, will go in and explore whether they're stationed overseas or not and have the same experience as a North Carolina kid, to see what's available, to plan for it, to choose their courses appropriately, to have those tools to help them make really informed choices that would lead to a successful post-secondary experience. CFNC, as we refer to it, was actually one of those rare, insightful, visionary approaches that a legislature occasionally will come up with. Our state legislature responded to the UNC system leadership and said, we want to make certain that we address this North Carolina need, and we want everybody to come together and engage in the educational enterprise. So the governor called in his educational cabinet, which was the superintendent of public instruction, the community college system president, UNC system president, and the president of the Independent Colleges and Universities Professional Association in North Carolina. Now, you all have been in this business, I'm certain, long enough to know that those are normally not individuals that have a shared vision. They're more of considering themselves a competitive vision for scarce resources, for fighting for the limited resources the state may have to offer. But the governor made it clear that if our state was going to prosper and flourish, create the kind of environment that we want for our young people to have as they finish school, to be able to move into an expanding workforce, to give the state the economic drive it needs to grow as a state, that we had to work together on this. Well, he sold the idea. So one of the key takeaways from this presentation that I want you to have is that, in my judgment, from my experience, to have states have successful statewide initiatives, the more of these individuals you can get to buy in early, the better, certainly, and the easier it will be. Eventually, I think you will have everyone buying in because they'll see the benefits, but the more you can get early to buy in, the better. And one of the things that we do in the Institute for College and Career Success is to work with states at no cost to you. We simply come at your request, if you get key decision makers around the table, to talk through how to build that partnership, if you will, how to get that consensus developed so that you can have the buy-in to help move your state forward. We took a 3-pronged approach, and this is one that I certainly could commend. Some states find that they'll use 2 of those 3. Some may have even expanded approaches to making certain that access becomes pervasive throughout your state. The one we'll talk about most this morning is over at Technology and Internet Services, and I'll cover those in some detail in just a few minutes. The Resource Center was our answer to, especially 6 or 7 years ago, that quick question that came up, okay, this is an internet-based approach. What about those first-generation, low-income kids who don't have access to the internet? Well, we wanted to make certain we addressed that, but in the process of addressing it, we were pleasantly surprised to find that it was a very small percentage of even first-generation, low-income families that did not have access either at home or through a Boys or Girls Club or civic organization or through a local library. So it certainly became more available than we were perhaps believing at the very outset. But we created a 1-800 call center that was part of the $1 million grant we got from our state legislature to get all of this started. The grant paid for us to hire 6 graduate assistants, and that was one of the takeaways and one of the things we share with states as we go in and talk with them. We placed our 1-800 call center on one of our college campuses. They agreed to give us space, not much, but a little. We agreed to hire 6 of their graduate students, pay them graduate stipends. So we went to the University of North Carolina at Greensboro, hired 6 of their master's and PhD counselor education candidates. So we've got people who are motivated to be in this business, who are engaged with working with students and families, to be the ones who answer the phone. And at least 2 of the individuals that we brought into this big picture of a call center are bilingual. Since our greatest growth is in the Hispanic population, we wanted to make certain we had Spanish-speaking individuals to deal not so much with students, because, as you all know, they have to be high-functioning in English, but with the students' parents, to make sure that those parents could be as engaged as you and I would want to be with our families, with our children, as we're talking about their future and certainly those opportunities. So we have the Resource Center, which coordinates the 1-800 call numbers for families to call in and get information. Anything available on the web can be sent to them in hard copy if that's appropriate. And we also partnered with North Carolina's Gear Up program. How many of you all know if your state has Gear Up grant or not? Many, many states, in fact, most states around the country, I think, do have. Gear Up is focused on the same things that we are, but more specifically in very low-wealth communities with boots on the ground, is a common term used these days, with individuals that are hired and assigned to those low-wealth areas to work with students and families in an entire school to help them start to think about and plan for a post-secondary experience. Well, North Carolina's statewide initiative, the Web Portal Initiative, fit perfectly with the Gear Up program. So much so that the very first step our entire Gear Up program takes is that every 6th grader creates a North Carolina CFNC account to start building that portfolio of activities, start building that course selection process, to start making certain that by the time they're seniors, they've got a portfolio ready to auto-populate their admissions applications to any one of the 110 schools in North Carolina. So why did we decide to go with a web portal? Well, I think all of us now can appreciate the power of the internet, certainly, and we began to see it even more so as more and more families, more and more students, more and more parents and school counselors were giving us feedback that the resource is what young people identify with, it's what they want to turn to for information, and it's proven to be, as you'll see in just a little bit, some of the numbers, proven to be a significant draw for students thinking about, planning for, applying to, and learning how to pay for their college experience. First of all, good information amounts to good decisions. So the more information students and their families can get earlier, the better those decisions will be about what the future may hold for those individuals. We wanted something that was seamless and comprehensive. And again, one of the lessons that we learned that we're very happy to share, we started this out 6 years ago with 2 separate websites, one for college information, one for paying for college, and we found quickly that students were not making that connection as intuitively as we had hoped they might or thought they might. So the Brain Trust got together and said, why don't we find a way to marry these two portals? So we've got the paying for college in great detail, as well as the planning for college and all the things, the tools that go with that. That did occur and certainly was the big launching pad for us to be as successful as we have become to raise that college going rate by 9 percentage points in just the last 5 to 6 years. Up to date, real time, one of the things that we worked hardest for was to get every college in the state to buy into being supportive of the state's statewide initiative. I will tell you early on that that did not occur overnight. It was not easy to accomplish. We had a large number of schools that jumped on the opportunity immediately. It gave them an online electronic application, which they didn't have before. But some of the larger institutions, including mine at North Carolina State, but Duke University, UNC Chapel Hill, they thought this is a nice plan, you all move ahead with that, but they were way too involved with their own programs to think that it was important enough for them to jump on the bandwagon. Well, we saw early in the state that in order for it to be as successful as it could be, everybody needed to buy in. So we spent a lot of time working with those individual campuses, with their leadership, with their admissions offices, and eventually over a 2 or 3 year period, a little bit of bloodshed, a lot of give and take, got those schools to certainly buy into the fact that this really is good for everybody. It's attracting a population that we all want to bring to our campuses. Very highly motivated, very capable, many times first generation, many times low income students, the kind that we want to make certain have opportunities. Well, this helps to enlarge the funnel from an admissions perspective so that you've got more students wanting to find out about your campus, learning about your school, and eventually applying to your school, that now those larger campuses are some of our strongest supporters. We want it to be accessible, which of course the internet is, interactive, personalized, and most importantly for us, that it supports and enables student transitions first from middle school to high school as they're taking the appropriate courses, making the necessary plans, through early career exploration, raising those aspirations so that they see in their minds college is an opportunity for them. This gives you just a quick look at how the web portal appears when kids sign on there. We're in the process now of going through to refresh it a bit to give it a little more dynamic look, since we've had the same look for about 5 or 6 years, and it's time for us to upgrade that a bit. But just to give you some sense, along the left-hand margin, I want you to notice that we've got CFNC in Spanish so that all of our static information is, again, available in Spanish, primarily with a parental audience in mind. We've got as one of the key first bullets the adult learner side that works with adults who want to come back and finish a GED or who started a post-secondary experience and stopped out for whatever reason, now want to come back or transfer to other institutions. We've got step-by-step processes in place for them to be able to do that. So it just gives you some sense of the kinds of things that one might find. And again, I would encourage you to, if you can find a few minutes, to explore some on your own. Career information for us is really the key to getting a good start when you're trying to get more students thinking about a college experience early on. Again, your kids, my kids, we're going to make sure they have that thought early in their lives, certainly. But for first-generation students, for low-income students, that may not be the first thing they're thinking about. They may be thinking about, when I get to the ninth grade and I turn 16 or the 10th grade, I'm dropping out of school and going to work to help support my family, which is part of the culture, as we have learned, especially in the Hispanic population. So we wanted to make certain we began to change that cultural outlook to help hopefully change that behavior, and we're seeing evidence that that is occurring. So career information is a way to raise the aspiration starting as early as middle school, and we even now are edging into the elementary school arena with some very age-appropriate career exploration tools that I'll talk about. The four-year planner, how many folks involved with college admissions or have experience in the admissions operations on your campus? A few. Well, from my many, many years of experience, I can tell you that I can't number the number of families that had sat in front of my desk when students were seniors in high school and wanted to come to North Carolina State University. And they were great kids, decent grades, good test scores, but they lacked sufficient courses that we required as a minimum to be admitted. They didn't have that fourth year of college prep math. They didn't have that fourth year of science. And so the kid and their family would say, if I had only known that I needed that, I would have taken it. High school counselors, God bless them, they are an overworked, incredibly hardworking group of individuals. But college counseling, as much as they may enjoy doing that, is not often something they have a lot of time to spend doing. So this tool was developed, and we brought them in early as a way to complement what they're doing, but it gives students an early heads up that if you want to go to this group of schools, if you want to study this kind of subject matter, these are the courses you're going to need to take. And when, in our state, and I believe in yours as well, the transition from 8th grade to 9th grade, kids are to fill out a high school planner and indicate the courses they plan to take. Well, they've gone through and listed those 2 or 3 or 5 or 6 or maybe 10 or 12 colleges they have some interest in. They put down the courses they're planning to take, and then red flags pop up. Wait a minute. If you want to go to UNC Chapel Hill, go to Duke University, you're not registered for the right math or enough math. So that early heads up, as early as middle school, it's what's giving more kids more information to make better choices about their curriculum as they move into the high school arena. A real good thing for us. free test prep for the SAT or the ACT. Most states, most public universities still require standardized tests. I think they will from this time forward. Some institutions have moved away from that, but the vast majority of institutions continue to use that as one of the pieces of the puzzle they look at when they're evaluating candidates for admission. Again, I'll use the analogy of my kids, your kids. If we thought they needed test preparation, we would make certain that we found a way for that to happen, whether it's going to a seminar over a weekend that cost $1,000 or whatever the case may be, we'd find a way to make that happen. For a lot of families, they don't even know that exists, much less have the resources to make that happen. So we have leveled the playing field by putting on this web portal free test preparation. We actually have number2.com as the resource, which Consumer Reports, if I remember correctly, rated as the number one test prep program in the country today, free test prep program for students to have access to. It goes in and gives them a chance, again, starting in high school, to learn about the test itself, to have some practice opportunities, to get them ready to have a successful testing experience. It helps to level that playing field, which we think is important. One of the unexpected positive effects of test prep, again, this came from feedback from school counselors, part of what's available is a vocabulary builder. Some of our school counselors, especially in rural areas, went in and started pulling out the vocabulary builder word for the day. So every morning in high school, when they're doing their morning announcements, they will give the vocabulary word for the day. Well, the unexpected outcome of that, a lot of students, especially first generation, they would tell us, especially kids who had not really thought about college, realized they knew those vocabulary words. They understood it was not something beyond their reach or grasp. They understood what was taking place. And because of that, it started to raise their aspirations of, well, if I know all the vocabulary words, just like some of the wealthier kids that I know are going to college know them, why can't I go to college? It began to raise the aspirations of those kids, and it began to change the college-going culture in that high school. In our case, small, rural North Carolina high school, more kids were seeing the possibilities just because of that one exercise. College profiles and matching assistant, it's a way for kids to go in and search for institutions based on their likes and dislikes, their wants, big school, small school, public school, private school, rural area, urban area, this range of degree programs, residential, commuting, single gender. Kids can go in and indicate the kinds of institutions that they're interested in, and then the search engine goes in among our 110 schools and up pops those schools that fit what the kids said they're interested in. Well, the aha moment comes for those students when they were expecting to see the three or four schools they'd always heard about. And all of a sudden, they're looking at 24 schools that many of them they had never even thought about or considered, but now enter their radar screen, which is why a lot of the smaller private, even smaller public institutions were so happy to jump on this access initiative, because it, again, expanded students' awareness of what they have to offer and, again, gives kids more options to consider, a very positive kind of thing. Students can apply to every single institution in North Carolina, all 110, from this one site. The applications are auto-populated by the information the student has been putting in their portfolio early on when they start this whole process of college exploration, college planning, by creating an account at CFNC. Some of our campuses, mostly the more selective ones, that have additional requirements beyond just basic information, there's a way to customize those applications with the school's colors, with specific questions. So if essays are required, no problem adding those. It's a way for students to go to this one stop and be able to do everything they need to do to learn about schools and then apply to college in that one fell swoop. And again, since this is a sponsored initiative, there's no cost to the individuals, no cost to the schools, no cost to the colleges. In our case, through some grants that we've received and also the state legislative support, we've been able to offer that as a no-cost situation for those families. The only amount that they pay now is their normal, typical application fee, which they would pay to a college anyway. And they also can use application fee. You can get exceptions to the application fees, if you will, if you want to go in and apply for that kind of a waiver. Go through the process, and that allows you to do that as well. One of the most recent changes, and something that's starting to literally sweep the country, is the ability to communicate transcripts electronically. School counselors, again, are our biggest supporter. It is greatly saving work, time, rework, if you will. When students go in and apply for admission in their senior year, they can click and say, at the time I apply, send my transcript to the schools I'm applying to. Within about 45 minutes to an hour, That transcript is on its way to those four or five colleges. It arrives looking just like the transcript that would have been mailed from that counselor's desk. Now, we have not yet, we have the ability or moving in the direction of having the upload capability. Most of our campuses, in fact, I'm not sure of any at this point, who have internally developed the upload capabilities of taking the transcript and putting it in their student information system, but it certainly can be done. What's happening now is they get the transcript, we'll print it out, but it becomes part of that student's record immediately. So kids are getting quicker turnaround and responses. Colleges know exactly where students stand much earlier. And best of all, from an admissions perspective, at the end of that student's senior year, because they had their transcripts sent electronically, there's a queue that will automatically send a final transcript to those campuses. And I can tell you, as an admissions person, I spend most of my summer tracking down a couple of hundred kids who have not yet sent their final transcripts that we have to have, and this eliminates that possibility altogether. Students can apply online using FAFSA, as well as other financial information that may be available. So it's a one-stop portal, seamless, if you will, transition from middle school to high school to college, with everything they need to make informed choices all in one place. College redirection was a North Carolina innovation, something that has worked extremely well, and we're hearing some other states talk about some interest in that as well. What college redirection says is, for those kids who applied for admission to two or three different schools, perhaps they were not as informed as we would hope they would be, and they got denied. In the past, we know that many of those kids said, means I can't go to college. Well, because we have all 110 schools buying into the Access Initiative, every admissions director in their letter of rejection, denial letter, if you will, has a paragraph that says, there may be other opportunities you wish to explore. Go to cfnc.org, click on college redirection, and by doing that, it lets the colleges in the state that still have space available in their class reach out to that student. Contact that student and say, this may be an option you had not considered before. We'd like to call your attention to it. This past year, over 900 students took advantage of college redirection and are now enrolled in one of the 110 schools in the state. So it's a way to make certain that kids know that there are opportunities, even when they may believe that they've applied to the schools they wanted to go to, got turned down, and all of a sudden they think their college career is over before it starts, and now they realize that's not the case. Now, we thought it would be terrible to have this kind of an opportunity and all of a sudden have some kids who don't get any letters from colleges. Well, a fail-safe fallback for us, we have every community college in the state, and there are 58 in our state, make certain that every student from their area code service area gets a letter from that community college. They may get many other letters as well, but they get some contact from their local community college, just making certain they know that is a possibility. So once we got all this established and have been moving ahead with our Access Initiative, we've started to grow and expand, taking it to the next level, if you will, and these are things that we're anxious to share with other states as well. We have created a curriculum that's tied to the North Carolina Standard Course of Study that's now being infused in the 7th and 8th grade, as well as high school, that will actually have ongoing college planning activities factored into courses they're taking in English and the social sciences, in science and in mathematics. We've actually developed all those curricula and are welcome to share those with individual states as well. If you all have children in either middle school or high school, you know about those daily planners they bring home. In our state, Premier happens to be the big provider of those agendas that kids bring home. I've got a daughter in the 7th grade who comes home with her little planner with everything written out. Well, we have partnered with Premier Agenda, so we now have college access activities based on CFNC infused in those planners about once or twice a month. It will send kids to the web portal to do vocabulary study, to work on perhaps SAT prep at the appropriate time. It sends them to the appropriate time to register for the SAT or register for the ACT or applying for admission. So it's all infused in what's happening on a daily basis to, again, keep that culture raised, if you will, that college is not only possible, it's something that you should be planning for, and we're going to help you plan for that. We have added what our school counselors tell us in North Carolina is the number one career planning and exploration tool in this country, and that's Bridges Transitions. Bridges offers an opportunity for kids as early as elementary school, something called Pause in Job Land, to begin seeing the connection between going to school and what they're studying and career possibilities. It lets kids do a lot of self-exploration so they can learn more about themselves and what their strengths and opportunities may be, to know how to find information out to pursue different majors based on what they're learning. And then we added something called College Application Week, which has been picked up this year. We started it 2 years ago. Our goal is to have every senior in the state of North Carolina apply to college, either a two-year institution, a four-year institution, a public or a private, doesn't matter to us, but to apply to college. This past year, we introduced this whole topic at a couple of professional conferences, and we know that Georgia is adding the College Application Week this year, and I've heard that I think Tennessee is doing the same. It's a way to get a whole state involved, again, and build some excitement around kids planning for their college experience. And I'll give you some details in just a moment. The curriculum materials, you can see 7th, 8th, 9th, and 10th. We've got the student activities laid out for school counselors and the lesson plans. I would invite you to go and look at this yourself, but essentially it provides a way for teachers to infuse this whole college thinking planning process, like 11th grade English teachers, 12th grade English teachers, or having kids, instead of writing an essay, they'll write a college essay. Again, just an example of one of the opportunities. The career tools, the Choices Explorer and Planner for 11th and 12th graders is a way to go in and start to do some exploration about what's possible, what's out there. This Do What You Are, Learn About Your Personality Type, is sort of an abbreviated Myers-Briggs, where kids can learn about individuals with similar traits to theirs, strengths to theirs, likes and dislikes, personality styles. May want to look at this array of possible careers. And then they click on that array of possible careers and they said, well, given this array, these are the degrees that students normally pursue to have careers in these areas. They click on the degrees. Well, in North Carolina, there are now 17 schools that offer this degree, or 47 schools that offer these degrees, which again expands options and opportunities that kids become aware of. This Do What You Are really is a neat way for students to learn something about themselves. And again, it's all designed to start them thinking, to start kids to again, making some plans for exploring their college choices and their opportunities. College Application Week began in 2006. We started out with our Gear Up sites, 15 Gear Up sites, about 800 and almost 900 kids. 1,000 of them applied online to some of the 110 schools in North Carolina. It went statewide last year. 12,800 kids at 109 high schools applied to 21,400 21,400 applications during that 1 week's time. Now, this is held in the second week in November for us. As you all might or might not remember, a lot of kids, most kids who've always planned to go to college begin applying when they go back to school in September, October. So that vast array of those kids who are already making college plans have already applied. The kids in November were telling us that this was a group that had been spurred to check it out, to go ahead and make application either to the local community college or what. Let's see if I can back up one real quick. Oops, there we go. Student comments. I like the help with filling out, submitting, and paying for applications. It was easier to do them by myself. So during that college application week, we partnered with the admissions group across North Carolina, CACRO, and those CACRO representatives would go into these schools, one or two individuals, just to be a resource for school counselors, to answer those questions about what does this question mean? How do I respond to this particular question? And we heard all sorts of those standard jokes about kids would see sex on there and they would think, do I have to check yes to that or whatever the case may be, as opposed to knowing gender was what was sought there. I never thought I would go to college, but I realize that it is my future and I can do it. Probably the quote that has struck most of us as being exactly what we're all about in trying to get more kids engaged in planning for college. This year, we've already had over 300 high schools. There are about 410 high schools in the state. Everything is voluntary. Our approach to this, and this is something we share with states if we're invited in to talk with decision makers, that we had our state superintendent of public instruction send a very positive and reinforcing letter to the school superintendents and all the districts across the state saying, we hope that you'll encourage your schools to participate. It's all voluntary. Well, this year over 300 already have. We think the others will come on board, certainly if not this year, then next. They make a big deal out of it in high school. You can imagine the bulletin boards in the high school, November 13th for last year. Little Hopewell High School made a big deal. So in the community, everyone knew this was College Application Day. Now, let me make you aware that just because you build something doesn't mean they're going to come. We learned from our own experience and working with other states that you can have the most magnificent portal opportunity in the world, but if people don't know about it and aren't reminded about it, then they're not going to take full advantage of it. So we have a pretty extensive marketing plan. TV and radio marketing, and we had certainly some other supplemental kinds of things we made available, whether they were mouse pads or some direct mail opportunities. But our big push has been using billboards, print media, and television and radio. I will tell you now, we did not have a single dime to invest in marketing when we began this. But we partnered, and this is something we work with other states to try to identify in their states, we partnered with our state loan guarantor, who does a lot of marketing for their college loan products anyway, a nonprofit group in North Carolina. And we talked them into partnering with us so that all of their marketing efforts are focused on driving students to a portal where they can both apply for financial aid as well as learn more about college, get excited about college, have more of them plan to go to college. And so they're the ones who are offsetting for us the cost of all the marketing that we know needs to be done.
Mom, Dad, look, I got
a commercial.
Oh, my gosh, I'm going to college. Can you believe it?
Oh, honey, that is
I got to call Jennifer. I need new shoes, new outfits, new sheets. Now, slow down.
Look familiar?
Need help paying for college? You need CFNC.org. One source for information on scholarships, grants, loans, and all types of financial aid. Right at your fingertips. College Foundation of North Carolina.
My son wants it.
My little sister.
Uh-oh.
She's always giving 110%.
Well, it's up
to
here
family,
and it looks great.
To her schoolwork. And now that she's finished,
I'm not sure why
school,
it's not playing
I
for you.
I want her to have opportunities. She wants to go to college and become a nurse.
Well, that's disappointing because these are really cool commercials.
Just not sure how she's going to pay for it.
It doesn't matter where you live.
Well, that's just really
cool. I am.
This was a different approach we took.
It doesn't matter.
Oops.
It doesn't matter where you live.
I am.
It doesn't matter how old you are.
I am.
It doesn't matter what you want to do.
I am.
There is a college that fits your needs.
This is addressed
I am
population.
Going to college.
To college. To college.
College.
College Foundation of North Carolina can help you find the college that's right for you and the scholarships, grants, or loans you need to pay for it.
So what did all this amount to in North Carolina? Well, first of all, by reaching out and using the marketing plans, we also worked with school boards. We've made presentations to school councils, things of that sort, in all the districts across North Carolina. 80% of the parents out there know about it, and 84% plan to use the services. That's very significant, as I hope you would agree, market penetration, which is one of the reasons we've experienced the kind of success and growth that we have. Look at those numbers. Over 2 million student accounts in just the last 6-plus years have been created on CFNC. We've already had over 1 million applications for admission submitted to the 110 schools in North Carolina. But the most important number for us is to the far left, over 9,300 visitors authenticate. They log in to their particular accounts every day and spend an average of 10 minutes, which is a reinforcing message to us that the tool is being used, that people are finding great value in what it has to offer. College participation rates for students from low-income families. Well, starting in 2000 when this began, we were at a low point. If I can reach that far. And you can see that we have grown now so that we're ranked number 6 in the country in getting low-income families engaged in planning to go to college. If you look at the college participation rates, and this comes from Tom Mortensen, who's sort of the nation's demographer for college going and income factors, families, low-income families, et cetera, it shows that North Carolina has now risen to number 1 in the country for the greatest increase in low-income families pursuing a post-secondary experience. Down near the bottom on the left-hand side, you'll see U.S. Across this country, there's actually been a decrease, a national average decrease of 3.8% of low-income families going on to a college experience. Interestingly to me, North Carolina, Georgia, and Tennessee, just to name those top three, are three states that have embraced the same approach to college access that North Carolina did, and that's to have a college access web portal, statewide initiative, with all the kinds of efforts that certainly we've tried to put forward to make certain that the citizens were aware, students were engaged, and took advantage of the tool. Well, to me, the evidence is almost overwhelming that the process, the approach we've taken is working and working really, really well. So why does it work? Well, first of all, the collaboration that I mentioned from the get-go. You've got to get everybody to buy in, K-12 through all of higher ed, for it to be as successful as it can be. You can start with one or two groups who start to build some inertia and some excitement, but then you need to get everybody to come on board at some point in time. The technology, of course, is the big driver that kids respond to. It's the robust technology of this mentor system that we have that has allowed students to come in and really get excited about being able to do college searches and eventually apply for both financial aid and for college. We train school counselors. We train admissions folks. We make certain that's part of what we do as part of the state grant. We market, as we talked about. The fact that it's student-centered is why it has been so widely accepted. It is one of those tools that kids go in and they think it's really cool. They think that it's a fun thing to go in, and they learn a lot about themselves as well as about the choices and options they have available. And I've got 3 minutes. I'm right dead on time. Which brings us back to College Foundation. We coined the phrase, we wish that we had somehow copyrighted it and could have sold it to some of our neighbors across the country. One place to plan, apply, and pay for college. I should put a footnote, a North Carolina success story that could also be your success story. That's it. I'll open things up for your questions, comments. I've got about 2 minutes or so before the 11:20 hour. From your experiences. Yes, sir. Yes.
When a student receives rejection letter, is the notification sent to only other colleges that student has applied to, or to every other college?
No. The student has to check the schools they're interested in contacting them. So the student's privacy is paramount, and all of that's controlled. So no one knows the kid's been rejected unless the kid goes in and checks, but I want to hear from schools that still have space available. They would check that, and those schools would then reach out to that kid. Yep, everything is student generated. Yes, ma'am. Yes. One of the most successful initiatives that has helped this to be such a big success in our state is training school counselors. We began by training high school counselors. We now have evolved, since we've been at it for a while, we've trained well over 4,800 school counselors. And we do it in small groups of usually 10 to 20 counselors. They have to meet so they have access to a terminal, so it's a one-on-one computer terminal with our trainer. In fact, that was also one of the really smart things that we backed into when we first began. We went to the K-12 folks, state superintendent said, you've always had teachers on loan. How about giving us a counselor on loan? We'll provide all of their travel expenses, et cetera, but you pay their salary. Well, we got just a fabulous counselor that was loaned to us that has since evolved into a permanent part of our team. But she was out training her peers. She had great credibility when she went out. Counselors knew that she knew from the frontline experience what was going on. She was leading these training exercises all across the state. We now have expanded to school resource centers, training those individuals of how to use the web portal and get kids engaged as well, and middle school counselors as well. Plus, we do an awful lot of marketing so that there are billboards. You can't drive an interstate in North Carolina without seeing the billboards, and they're all appropriate to the time of year in the whole college process. In the spring, it's going to be the planning process, and it sends them to the website and gets them excited about what's there. So a lot of that's picked up that way. In the fall, it's applying to college. In the winter, it's how to pay for college or the messages that are being sent out. Yes? Those are very, very insightful questions. And the answer to your question is, yes, there was certainly an effort to see who was being affected by it. And we found that our two-year institutions, our community colleges, probably saw the greatest increases for these first generation families. Many times they were kids going into terminal degree programs, whether it was a trade or whatnot, but increasing numbers going into college transfer, and we're just coming up adding a module that has transfer articulation information for students to be able to go in and plan for a smooth transition to a four-year institution. The whole retention graduation plan program is something that we know is important. We're not as heavily into that as we will be eventually, but we have worked very closely, especially with the public university campuses, to make sure they had individual campus plans in mind to address this growing population, to make certain that they did have the early interventions. It's too early to know what positive impact that's having just yet. We're hoping that as part of the whole retention effort by kids making better choices to begin with of where to go to college through this exploration process, so they're not just picking a school because it has a good basketball team or a good football team, whatever the case, so they're making more informed choices about where to go, there's a better fit, and also because it delves so deeply into proper course planning to make sure they're ready when they get there that we're seeing, we hope to see, we haven't got the data yet, fewer kids are needing to take remediation. That's one of the outcomes we hope, which will also contribute to retention. So those are places we still have to go. We're still fairly young at this, but those are things we know we have to address, places we have to go, and we hope to have that data, very positive data, in the not-too-distant future. An excellent question. Folks, you have been a great audience. Thank you very much. If you've got your business card, I'll be glad to send you a copy of the PowerPoint, and also if you'll tell me, I'll send you a copy of the demographics for your particular state. Thank you all very much.
This EDUCAUSE 2008 Annual Conference podcast is sponsored by Real Networks. Stream multi-format audio and video to PCs and mobile devices with Helix Server from Real. Information at realnetworks.com.